So we're both Indian,
yes.
But actually we're both South Indian.
Yes.
And so were you raised eating South Indian food?
South Indian food, lots of rice and yogurt, potato curry, dal, lots of dal, idli.
Yes, idli. Mm. That's a deep cut. Okay, so what we're cooking today is two things. One of the South Indian staples is dosa,
yeah.
Which is kind of like a sourdough crepe. And then we're going to make
potato curry. That's the actress and comedian, Mindy Kaling, with Senator Kamala Harris in a video from when Harris was running for president in the Democratic primary. She dropped out of the race early on, but last week, Joe Biden chose Harris to be his running mate. It's a historic choice. Harris is both the first Black woman and the first Asian American woman to run for vice president. Harris's mother is Indian. As part of her campaigning, Harris has been reaching out to the Indian community, including Mindy Kaling.
I find that wherever I go and I see Indian people at the supermarket, on the street, everyone's like, you know Kamala Harris is Indian, right? It's like our thing we're so excited about.
Could that excitement translate into votes? And could Kamala Harris make the Democratic ticket more appealing to a large and growing Indian American community in the Philadelphia area? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Watch.
Balaji, a lecturer at the University of Pennsylvania.
Morelli studies race and is a political and diversity consultant. I've been having conversations about racial identity and ethnicity with him for years now. When he told me his family was from the same region of southern India as Harris's mother was, I knew we had to talk about it. Morelli, I know that it was a source of pride for me as a Black woman when Joe Biden named Kamala Harris as his running mate. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, you know, I was expecting the decision, but even when that announcement was made, it still felt surreal because Kamala's family comes from the same part of India as mine. The stories from her childhood visiting India and spending time with her mother's family mirrored a lot of my own experience. When she describes going for walks with her grandfather, P.V. Gopalan, I literally just visualized my own walks with my grandfather. And we call grandfather in Tamil Tata. So just the fact that Kamala, from a linguistic standpoint, from an experiential standpoint, really had the same sort of upbringing and response to visiting these relatives in Chennai, the personal connection goes far beyond the parasocial experience you think when you know a candidate. Like I could feel Barack Obama's experience through the audacity of hope and his personal story. But with Kamala Harris, I lived that experience. And that has such a significant impact for me as an Indian American.
I want to hear a little bit about your family story. You said you grew up here, right?
Yeah, I'm from the Delaware Valley. My dad came to the U.S., shortly after the repeal of the Asian Exclusion Act. So my dad's been in this country for almost five decades. And my mom came to the U.S. a few years later after she married my dad. They were in a very, very small community of Indian Americans. What's interesting is my experience almost had two parts to it. One where I had very little exposure or interaction with other Indian Americans, and then a second part in which there was a growing community of Indian Americans and South Asians as a whole, particularly people from Bangladesh who were starting to come to the area.
Since your days growing up, the Indian American community in the Philadelphia area has really grown tremendously, especially in the last decade. What's that growth look like, and how did it happen?
The Indian American community has been present in the United States for more than a century. In fact, in Philadelphia, Anindabai Joshi came to Philadelphia to complete her medical training at the turn of the 20th century. And she was one of the youngest women to get her medical degree. Fast forward to 1924, when the Asian Exclusion Act was passed, there were small communities of Indian Americans on both the East and West Coast who really didn't have much growth opportunities. So for four decades, immigration from Asia as a whole was pretty much cut off. So in 1965, when the Asian Exclusion Act was repealed, Indian Americans began coming to the United States in larger numbers, primarily as white-collar professionals and graduate students, but some also as blue-collar workers and business owners.
So the second wave after the Asian Exclusion Act, did a lot of people come to the Philly area after that?
By the mid to late 80s, you start to see another wave of Indian and South Asian immigration into the U.S. And this was driven for several reasons. One, universities were expanding. University of Pennsylvania, Temple University, their graduate programs were drawing some of the best and brightest from the Indian subcontinent. You also saw the growth of companies like Merck and tech industries.
What kind of political influence does this influx of Indians bring with them?
You know, it's funny, Annette. Even as the Indian American population was growing, the Indian American and South Asian community as a whole was very reluctant to engage politically. There's that model minority stereotype where you just keep your head down and you work hard and that's all you need to do. But Indian Americans became more politically active, especially as they saw their numbers increase and also their voice needing to be heard on issues that especially were relevant to them, issues such as immigration, education. Over the last decade, members of both parties are now actively courting the Indian American vote. And as a result, Indian Americans are able to wield more muscle. Here in the Philadelphia area, where we have one of the largest populations on the East Coast, we're seeing that in terms of the ways in which local office holders, folks who are running for state legislative races, as well as federal races, are reaching out to the community.
It sounds like politicians are responding. How has that translated into a higher voter turnout among Indian Americans in the area?
Well, that's the interesting thing, Annette. Indian Americans still tend to vote in major races, but not necessarily in off-year elections. Your school board races, for example, or your township collector races. Races that have equal significance in terms of your everyday lives. I'll also say from a political standpoint, Indian Americans have tended to skew Democrat. But in the last 10 to 15 years, Republicans have made a significant effort to reach out to the Indian American community. And so what's going to be really interesting is how this plays out and how Kamala Harris's presence on the ticket will impact the Indian American vote.
When we come back,
you have a lot of South Asians on the front lines of COVID-19. Indian American doctors, Bangladeshi nurses who are fighting this pandemic and not necessarily getting any sort of help at the federal level.
supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Morelli Balaji about Kamala Harris's racial identity and how her presence on the Democratic presidential ticket could appeal to the growing number of Indian American voters in the Philadelphia region. I think that a lot of people recognize Kamala as Black because, you know, she went to a HBCU and all of that.
I'm doing this interview and he says, well, you have family members that went to Stanford and Harvard, but you chose to go to Howard. No, elite schools like Stanford, but you chose to go to Howard. I was literally, and I was I was about to go off, which would not have been cool. And I said, well, you do know that Howard University is the Mecca.
But I'm not sure how many people recognized her as Indian. And I'm wondering, is that because maybe, you know, she grew up a little bit like you did, where you were sort of outside of that community for a time?
That plays a small role in it. But I also think one thing that Kamala has acknowledged in her own autobiography is that her mother, Shyamala Gopalan, who is a distinguished cancer researcher, made the decision to instill in her daughter's Indian values, passed on some of her Hindu identity. Her mother made the decision that because of her identity as a biracial American, she would still be seen in this country as a Black woman. I also think that it's geographic reality, right? So for me, growing up, a lot of my upbringing was either in mostly Black or Latino areas or mostly white areas. And I think that Kamala Harris had a similar upbringing growing up in Oakland.
My mother and father came from opposite sides of the world, one from India and the other from Jamaica. But what brought them together was the civil rights movement of the 1960s. And that's how they met as students in the streets of Oakland, marching and shouting for this thing called justice.
I also think that another element from Kamala's story that should be acknowledged is that anti-Black racism in the South Asian community can be an issue. For many years, the South Asian community as a whole, whether it was immigrants from India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, etc., kept to themselves and viewed their Americanness within a scale of whiteness.
What do you mean, Morelli, viewed on a scale of whiteness?
So I think for a lot of immigrants, the idea of America is defined by white Americans. So for example, when you go to India, when someone tells you, oh, I have an American friend, that means I have a white friend. American equals white to many immigrant communities of color. And that is one reason why many immigrant communities define themselves by whiteness in this country. So their citizenship is really a sense of racial citizenship as well.
Where does Kamala stand on some of the issues we talked about earlier that Indian American voters are thinking about? Issues like education, issues like immigration.
What's been interesting to see is that Kamala Harris, from a policy standpoint, has views that align with the majority of Indian Americans. What's been just as interesting is that the Trump administration has made all of these rhetorical outreach efforts to Indian Americans, particularly first-generation Indian Americans. But substantively, it has not materialized. So, for example, the Trump administration has tried to cut H-1B visas, which are seen as the lifeblood of the Indian and South Asian communities. Education is very important for Indian Americans because Indian Americans, by and large, move to the suburbs for better schools, for better public education. And we clearly are in a time when we have an administration that has been openly antagonistic towards public education. So that's one area of direct contrast. The second area I think that is really important to, third area besides immigration education is healthcare. You have a lot of South Asians on the front lines of COVID-19, Indian American doctors, Bangladeshi nurses, people of all different South Asian backgrounds who are fighting this pandemic and not necessarily getting any sort of help at the federal level. And I think that that resonates with Indian Americans and South Asian Americans.
So we talked a lot about, you know, the growing Indian American population in Philadelphia and the suburbs. And we talked about the appeal Kamala Harris has, could have for that community, rather. Do you think having her on the ticket could strengthen her and Joe Biden's chances in Pennsylvania, which, as you know, is a crucial swing state?
Very much so. And I think it could get Indian American and South Asian voters who might have otherwise stayed home to go to the polls and vote. I can tell you the number of relatives I have in India who are sending me messages, almost celebratory, like, hey, you know, a Tamil woman is now potentially going to be the next vice president of the United States. That has significance for quite a few folks, and it's across generations, whether you are an immigrant, whether you're the children of immigrants, whether you're even third generation who identify with some way, shape, or form with your Indian identity, that can play a role. Keep in mind that the Philadelphia and Pittsburgh suburbs and increasingly the Lehigh Valley have large numbers of Indian Americans, and they can play a pivotal role if, as we expect, this race is going to be close. Donald Trump won the state of Pennsylvania by five figures in terms of the number of votes he won by. He won the presidency by less than 100,000 votes. When you look at the margin of defeat in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida, and Texas, and to a lesser extent, North Carolina, have very significant Indian American populations that could come into play as voting begins. Indian American voters have largely been on the sideline when it comes to the sort of national engagement. And now they have an opportunity to play a pivotal role, a pivotal swing role in at least a half a dozen states. And I think that for the first time, you will see the sort of impact that the Indian American and South Asian American community vote can play in a presidential election.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Morelli. Thank you. It's great to talk to you again.
It's wonderful talking to you, Annette. I really appreciate our conversations, as always.
That was Penn lecturer Morelli Balaji. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd Circa, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had help for today's episode from Eugene San. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay well. We'll talk tomorrow.